thank you. So real quick, this is funded by a grant from the Amgen Foundation, but neither myself or my co-authors have any disclosures. So by the end of my talk, I hope you will all understand the challenges faced by vulnerable populations as they struggle to navigate the Medicare Part D benefit, and be able to describe how targeted outreach by pharmacy experts improves access to low-cost prescription drugs and reduces out-of-pocket drug costs for vulnerable patients. So my talk on the nuts and bolts of Part D takes 2 hours, so I am sparing you all of that, but I'm going to have to condense it into about 1 or 2 slides. So briefly, it's a privately administered insurance program for prescription drugs that's subsidized by the federal government. It represented the largest expansion of Medicare program since its inception in 1965. On January 1st, 2006, Medicare beneficiaries began receiving prescription drug benefits from various insurers as either standalone drug benefits, and throughout my talk I'm going to refer to these plans as prescription drug plans or PDPs, or as part of a comprehensive health plan known as Medicare Advantage Prescription Drug Plans or MAPDs, and those are plans you can think of kind of like Kaiser, where everything is taken care of by one place. Each insurer can offer Part D plans with their own cost-sharing structure and formulary as long as these plan features are not less than the basic benefit established by Medicare. This has resulted in a large number of and tremendous variability in Part D plans within each Medicare region. Although Part D has been helpful in providing many Medicare beneficiaries access to needed medications, there is growing concern about its effects on vulnerable beneficiaries, namely underrepresented minorities, those with limited income, and those with limited or no English proficiency. One way that low-income beneficiaries can get additional financial assistance through the Part D program is via the low-income subsidy, which is administered by the Social Security Administration. This subsidy provides premium, deductible, and cost-sharing reductions for beneficiaries with limited assets and income less than 150% of federal poverty level. And for this year and next year, that represents $16,245 annually for a single-person household. Patients who are enrolled in Medicaid are automatically given full LIS, while everyone else must apply for the subsidy through an application available at the Social Security Administration. They can apply in person, online, or through the mail. In 2009, it is estimated that 9.6 million beneficiaries were receiving LIS, but an additional 2.3 million were seen as potentially eligible, but were not receiving the subsidy, primarily because they didn't know about it or had no way to know how to get applications. But these estimates were based on income and asset estimates. So just to review the challenges, for vulnerable beneficiaries, first, LIS recipients must select a Part D plan on their own or face random assignment to selected PDPs known as benchmark plans. And given the complexity of the Part D benefit and annual plan changes, many vulnerable Medicare beneficiaries lack the knowledge and skills necessary to select the lowest cost plan that covers their medications that they're taking at that time. They may also have limited or no English proficiency, and as of now, the only way to compare plans is by using a tool on the Medicare website called the Medicare Part D Prescription Drug Plan Finder Tool. Our pharmacy students get 4 hours of classroom instruction and case-based practice in order to use this tool. So imagine how difficult it is to navigate this without any training and then take into account limited computer skills and language barriers. It's only available in English and Spanish. No studies or surveys have examined whether beneficiaries are aware of the potential cost savings they can achieve by annually evaluating Part D plan offerings. In fact, most seniors stay in the same plan each year despite the annual increases in plan premiums. And a recent Avalier study that just came out in the last couple weeks said on average the most popular plans' premium increases will go up 11% next year. So our study objectives were to identify vulnerable populations through targeted community outreach and lower their expected annual out-of-pocket costs. This intervention was performed by trained pharmacy students under pharmacy faculty supervision, and it sought to assist beneficiaries in evaluating their PDP options and counsel them about switching plans if warranted. So why pharmacists? While we admit inconsistency among pharmacists and within the pharmacy culture, in general, pharmacists are accessible in the community, knowledgeable about prescription drug therapies and costs, and are ideally positioned to serve as patient advocates. However, there's great variability in training and time available for one-on-one counseling with patients, and results from our pilot study showed that with training, pharmacy students can become skilled and unbiased Part D advocates for vulnerable patients. Using a train-the-trainer model, faculty from UCSF were able to train faculty from 6 additional California schools of pharmacy in Part D. Those faculty were then able to teach this curriculum to pharmacy students at their institutions through elective and/or required courses, and each student who provided one-on-one counseling to patients was required to complete additional case-based training and didactic lectures. Outreach events targeting vulnerable beneficiaries were held at sites reporting a need for Part D counseling services. Events were conducted primarily at low-income clinics, housing complexes, community centers, and other settings. Events were advertised at all facilities, and on-site care providers like social workers referred patients who they thought might benefit from counseling. Most events occurred during the annual open enrollment period, which is between November 15th and December 31st. So during the one-on-one counseling session, beneficiaries were asked a series of questions during a structured interview with pharmacy students. Survey questions included demographic information, socioeconomic status, self-reported health status, and current prescription drug data. The survey was available in 6 languages: English, Spanish, Chinese, Vietnamese, Tagalog, and Russian. And interviews in languages other than English were primarily conducted by trained pharmacy students who spoke those languages. So this is what the homepage of the Medicare.gov website is, looks like. And this is how you conduct a personalized plan search. This was performed for every beneficiary receiving counseling. And the personalized plan search allows beneficiaries to view their LIS status, current plan name, and find out their expected annual out-of-pocket Part D costs, including all premiums, deductibles, and drug copayments. Pharmacy students entered each patient's medication information into the plan finder, and then this plan finder generates expected out-of-pocket costs based on the medications they are taking at that time, and it does it for all plans that are available in that patient's zip code. So through the plan finder, cost data for the patient's current PDP and, if different, the lowest cost PDP plan were recorded. Prescription drug and drug plan costs were recorded under the assumption that beneficiaries would remain in their current plan or their Medicare assigned plan in the upcoming year. While the intervention was targeted to beneficiaries enrolled in a PDP, other Medicare beneficiaries were not excluded from receiving counseling. However, cost data for these participants were not collected. And we chose to target those in PDPs because most vulnerable patients are enrolled in a PDP, and MAPD plan switches are much more complicated as they often involve changing from where and from whom patients receive their health care. So from October 28, 2008 to January 20, 2010, a total of 94 outreach events were conducted in 20 cities across California. Collectively, 1,437 beneficiaries received counseling, and the majority of these, 88%, were counseled at events held during open enrollment. More than 9 out of 10 patients, or 1,300 in total, were identified as low income, and for us that meant less than 300% of federal poverty level. So the mean age of participants was about 74. And the mean number of prescription drugs they were taking was about 6. It did range from 0 all the way up to 22. 61% of participants were female. And when we looked at vulnerable populations, we found 85% had the low-income subsidy, 57% had limited or no English proficiency, and 46% had less than a high school education. And we did find 72 participants that we found as potentially eligible for LIS, and all 72 were assisted in completing applications. So for the cost data, 294 participants were excluded. This was because, for the most part, 183 were not enrolled in a standalone Medicare Part D plan. This included participants who came to us with employer or VA health coverage and those enrolled in MAPD plans. 60 were not enrolled in any plan, and we were actually able to enroll 49 of those into a Part D plan, but we have no baseline data from them. And then 51 were missing plan or cost information. So the majority of these beneficiaries, 1,006, were enrolled in PDPs and had complete data. So of these beneficiaries, only 287, or 29%, would have been enrolled in the lowest cost plan had they remained in that same plan for the upcoming year. Based on our interventions, 390 beneficiaries who were not enrolled in the least costly plan were switched into the lowest cost plan at the time of the intervention. Of those who chose not to change into a lower cost plan on site, the majority, 191, quote, thought the money saved wasn't worth the trouble of switching plans, and 93 wanted to consult with their family or physician before switching. So of patients who switched plans on site, their median annual expected out-of-pocket costs went from $383 to $122, representing a 68% decline. Cost savings ranged, as you can see, that it was a wide range, from $2 to almost $25,000. So for all of the cost data, we used median values. In addition, potential savings from the 72 patients we identified as possibly eligible for LIS are not included because Social Security gets their information and sends out letters, and that all happens after we leave the facility. Beneficiaries who chose to change plans had statistically significantly higher expected annual cost savings compared to those who did not switch plans, and this was at the P less than 0.001 level. And as you can see, patients who did not switch plans on site at baseline, they had lower costs, and post-intervention would have had a little bit higher costs. So the majority of patients had a little bit higher costs and more cost savings. I think it was $207 on average versus $100 when you looked at it aggregated. So to summarize, before the intervention, 29% of vulnerable patients were enrolled in the lowest cost plan, and after the intervention, that number increased to 67%. Our study has a couple limitations. First, there were no control group. Beneficiaries did serve as their own controls. Therefore, it is unclear if beneficiaries with similar problems and costs would have switched to a different plan on their own or with help from other sources. I do want to mention the fact that we were contacted specifically from these places shows that they potentially could have had some help, but these social workers really didn't know where else to go to get help. And second, study results may have been affected by selection bias. Beneficiaries who chose to attend these events may have had a higher rate of problems with their current plans than those who did not opt to attend such events. Because this is the first study to examine expected out-of-pocket costs in vulnerable populations, further research is needed to determine the generalizability of these results. So in conclusion, our results show that plan cost is important to many vulnerable Medicare beneficiaries. Regardless of LIS status, the majority of beneficiaries with the potential to realize cost savings by switching to a different PDP did so on site after receiving counseling from pharmacists and pharmacy students. Importantly, even those beneficiaries with the most subsidized Part D benefit, full LIS, and remember 85% of the people in this study had full LIS, could still realize significant cost savings by evaluating their plan choices. These cost savings may be particularly important considering the emphasis on cost-effective and efficient care in the health reform legislation. The Affordable Care Act does improve the Part D benefit by closing the coverage gap by 2020, improving the availability of benchmark plans, and creating a new office within CMS that better coordinates benefits for Medicare and Medicaid recipients. However, many of the problems identified in our study are not addressed in the law. Specifically, there are no reforms that reduce plan choices, simplify plan benefits, or promote access to counseling services that can meet the individualized needs of vulnerable populations. Although the law prohibits reductions in benefits for LIS recipients, there are no provisions to increase the income and asset eligibility criteria for the LIS program, which would enable a greater number of low-income beneficiaries to qualify for this important source of financial assistance. So our study shows that when vulnerable Medicare beneficiaries receive assistance from pharmacists and trained pharmacy students, they are likely to enroll in lower cost plans, they can reduce their expected out-of-pocket costs, and they can be identified as eligible for the LIS benefit. Given the complexity of Part D benefit and the growing number of Part D enrollees, there is a need to support training programs to assist Medicare beneficiaries, especially vulnerable patients, in making appropriate drug plan and medication choices, and our intervention serves as a model for such a program. And I'd like to give special thanks to our 6 collaborative institutions and the principal investigators. Thank you.